Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Dispensing Truth, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health by Dr. Ron Jordan is for Christians as well as non-Christians. A book that gives people a confidence that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God who took on flesh to best show what God is like, as well as make it possible for all men to experience forgiveness and eternal life. But it's more than that. It reveals what man can do to receive healing from all kinds of sickness and disease, also help others to receive healing. All of this is presented in a manner that is easy to understand. Dr. Jordan is a member of two of the most trusted professions in our country, a licensed pharmacist and an ordained minister. He attended USC, Life Bible College, and Talbot Theological Seminary, has been a community pharmacist since 1965, ordained in 1970. He still is a community pharmacist, but over the years has seen the truths of this book transform broken lives and heal broken bodies. Along with his wife of over 40 years, they currently live in Cathedral City, California. Dr. Ron Jordan, author of Dispensing Truth, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Jordan, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick. What a pleasure.
It is our pleasure, and such an important book, Dispensing Truth. It's been called a transformational book by those who have read the book and lives that have been touched. And we'll talk on that during the course of the interview. You have actually seen firsthand what the book is about and how it is changing lives of people. I mentioned that you became a Christian while studying at USC. Were you religious up to that point?
Well, religious, big word. I was fortunate enough to be in a born in a family of people who lived through the Depression. And when you're a kid, you only know what you know and what you're exposed to. But as I grew older, I realized I really was fortunate enough to have a mom and a dad who brought me upright. Did I go to church? No. Did I hear much about God and Jesus? No. But I heard a lot about right and wrong and what was the right thing to do and what wasn't. And from that standpoint, I was able to, the best of my ability, to follow what my mom and dad taught me. And in that sense, they were my you might say, my God, and they brought me upright. So for the most part, I wasn't that bad a kid. But religious, no, I was not religious at all growing up, other than I could lay on my back, as any kid might do, look up into the sky and go, oh, man, there has to be something bigger and better than me.
That's pretty convincing, isn't it? Once you see the vastness of the world around us, it really brings it all to home again, doesn't it?
Boy, oh, boy, it did to me. I had no problem accepting the reality of a God.
You say when you became a Christian, you were born again instantly. Talk just a little bit about that. What do you mean by that? How did that happen?
Okay. When I was at SC, I was also an intern pharmacist at a pharmacy in the Gardena area of Southern California. And it was a pharmacy located in a medical building. And during the summer, after school, as was the case, a lot of individuals would find jobs at these type of locations. And one afternoon, a couple of medical assistants from one of the doctor's offices came down to get their candy and treats. And one was a young lady, which really caught my eye. So not too long after that, I asked if she'd like to go out, and we took her to Disneyland. And I was impressed, and I was impressed that she would she would subsequently ask me out to take me to a local pizza place, which, by the way, when we're off the air, I'll tell you if you're ever in the area where to go to get the greatest pizza in the world. However,
okay,
that's not the point. That's not the question. I understand. But and we did things like that. We went out for a while, and then she invited me to church. Well, by this time, I was ready to chase her skirt to church. And in the process of doing that, the Lord caught me in church. And I say that because I was being exposed to the Word of God for the first time in my life. And one evening, the pastor was sitting down with a group of us young fellows and sharing from the book of Ephesians, and he shared Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Well, by this time, I had had enough of the Word of God, and I wasn't resistant to God to begin with. And when 2, 8, and 9 told me that God wanted to give me eternal life, He wanted to give me the faith to accept that, and when you look up in the sky and you realize how great that is.
Yes.
And the greatness of that wants you to be His kid and wants to invite you to spend eternity with Him. It was like being in a dark room and somebody all of a sudden flipping on the light switch. I mean, it was that black and white. And accompanying that realization that God wants me to spend eternity with Him, and then the black and white of the moment was an inside thing as well. It was like I went from whoever I was, my feelings, my normal feelings, to being so exhilarated, so instantly changed inside, my feelings, my emotions, everything just went from black to white. And I was, to make this a little more a little more dramatic maybe, you couldn't stand to be around me after that for a number of months, because all I could think about was everybody needs to understand this. Everybody needs to know God wants to spend eternity with you guys. What's wrong with you guys?
Exactly. Yes, yes. Certainly could understand that. And you had a hunger during this period to read the Bible. What was that like? Because that became your new favorite book.
Definitely it did. It's, again, another black and white moment. I can't explain why, other than as I grew in my understanding, I really understood that God now inhabited my being. He considered my body the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that was a whole new revelation, to know that I'm never alone, never alone. And then I wanted to find out more and more about God. So I just naturally migrated to Mark, John, Matthew, Luke, and so forth.
Yes.
In fact, I took an airplane flight from L.A. during the Watts riots into Massachusetts, and from L.A. to Massachusetts, I read the entire New Testament. I just couldn't get enough, and I'd read it over and over again, and I later discovered that faith comes from hearing, and hearing, or reading, the Word of God. So I realized that I was just eating my Wheaties and my spinach and everything like crazy, and I was getting, you know, I was getting blessed for doing it.
Such an amazing story. Dispensing Truth is the name of the book, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health. Our guest is Dr. Ron Girardin. That's G-I-R-A-R-D-I-N. Book available at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, at Walmart, all the usual places. Excuse me, we'll give you that list before the program is over here, so you have that. It's interesting you talk about being healed instantly while playing baseball at Life, L-I-F-E. Tell us about that. That's a fascinating experience you had.
Well, I graduated in 1965 from USC and started practicing pharmacy. But it was in 1964 that I had received the Lord as my Savior, and all this was taking place in my life. And I had this insatiable desire to know more and more and more about the Lord, Jesus. And so where I was going to the church, the pastor at that location could see that, you know, I was really jazzed on Jesus.
Yes.
He said, "Have you ever thought about going to seminary or Bible college and learning more, or you're in a more intense setting?" And I go, "No, I hadn't. Is there some place like that around here?" And the bottom line was, I ended up going to LIFE. Well, while at LIFE, I was just loved baseball. I played baseball when I was younger. But when I went to SC, no way. SC was one of the better baseball schools in the nation at the time. So I decided to go out on the baseball team when that time came. But I hadn't played ball in almost 10 years, hardball. So my reaction time was slow, naturally. And we were having batting practice one day, and I was standing at third base, fielding third base in batting practice. And the batter just lined one, got it right on the sweet spot. And a low line drive came toward me, and it exploded about 2 feet in front of my shin. And I didn't get my glove down fast enough, and the ball whacked off my leg.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, my gosh, the pain. Oh, And I rolled off the field, rubbing my leg, and doing the only thing my young Christian life had learned was that the Bible says, by his stripes I've been healed. So I put my hands over my shin and rubbed and rubbed and rubbed and repeated and repeated and repeated, by his stripes I've been healed, by his stripes I've been healed. And then all of a sudden, within my mind, whatever you want to call it, there was a small, still voice that said, do you really believe that? And all of a sudden, I stopped my repeating and thought for a second, realizing the question meant, if you really believe that, then you're going to act like that. And I realized from former injuries that an injury like this, where a blood clot raises up over an injury, that it's going to take at least 2 weeks, and it's going to be painful standing up.
Exactly,
it's going to be painful,
yes.
Walking, it's going to be painful, painful, painful. And I realized that if I really do believe this, I do need to act like it. And I didn't have the courage to stand up normally, so I flailed to my feet. And I look at myself in the mirror today and I go, you liar. I flailed to my feet with my eyes pinned to where the ball hit. And when my feet actually struck the ground, that blood clot called a hematoma vanished instantly. No pain, with only a little tiny red mark where the ball had impacted my shin. And there was a fellow who had stepped in for me so I didn't get hit. And he had been looking at me and listening to me, and he looked at me, and his jaw fell to the ground so fast you can't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And it was quite an experience to see what God can do for you instantly.
That started you with this whole concept of healing in faith, and you talk about it so eloquently in your book, Dispensing Truth, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health, by Dr. Ron Jordan, our guest on the program, talking about healing all kinds of sickness and disease and helping other people. And I'll get to that in a second, but a very important part of your life was a professional baseball player, Alpi Peterson, helped usher in signs and wonders in your life. Explain briefly, Albie, and the impact he made on your life.
Sure. Well, it's actually Albie Pearson, and it's P-E-A-R-S-O-N.
Yes.
He was a rookie with the Washington Senators back in 1958, and he actually won the Rookie of the Year award. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about Albie, because he's from another generation in today's world. So Albie subsequently, when expansion occurred, became part of the Los Angeles Angels. And he was the first Angel ball player to hit 300 over the period of a season, full season. And actually, 1 year when Mickey Mantle was injured, Albie Pearson was the starting center fielder for the American League All-Stars. So Albie, after baseball, he was born up, he was brought up a Christian, and his mother and father, in fact, his mother even pastored in El Monte, California, when women didn't pastor too often.
Yes.
So he was a pastor, and at the end of his career, he was the highest paid Angel in California history, Angel history, Los Angeles Angel history at that time. And he didn't want to stop. I mean, he was enjoying life, you know. He toasted the town, he hosted Marilyn Monroe onto the baseball field one night, all that. So he was struggling with God's asking him to quit and to begin playing on his team. But he went through some injuries, finally got the point, and retired from baseball, and became a very hit of the moment, being a former ball player. He had a national audience to begin with. And he ministered to kids for the longest time. I found out about this, and my wife and I were going to a church, and we started a softball team for the young men of the church. And at the end of the season, we had invited a lot of people to play ball with us who weren't church attenders. And my wife and I wanted to do something special for them. So we got a hold. We were able, blessed enough to get a hold of him. He agreed to come out and host a year-end banquet kind of situation.
Fantastic,
party.
Yes.
He came out, and at the end of that time, well, we got to know him a little and continued to increase our relationship with him over the years. So about 2 years later, he came out to San Pedro, California to kind of minister to some young men at a church there in the evening, and Lou and I accidentally, became informed of it, and we decided we'd go down and see him. Well, after there were only about 15 kids there that evening, and as he closed his session with them, he asked if any of the kids had been involved in some of the things they shouldn't have been involved of that he'd been speaking about from the book of from the Old Testament. And only one kid came up, about 11-year-old, and I looked at Lou, and we were sitting at the back of the sanctuary. We said, well, you know, this might not take too long, and maybe after he does his cordials with the pastor and the elders and stuff, maybe we'll have a moment to see him. So at the end, this one kid comes up, and he's praying for this kid, and this kid hits the ground like a sack of potatoes. Mm. Well, 2 weeks before, I'd been studying, looking at the Gospels, and Jesus has cast out a demon. And in my head, I go, wow, if that happens today, I'd like to see it. So immediately when this kid hit the ground, inside me, the Holy Spirit goes, there you go. And I says, come on, Lou, let's go down to the altar. And so we left, and we headed for the altar. And when we got down, there was just Albie there at that moment, waiting to see if any of the kids would respond. And I said to him, so thoroughly investigating what had went on, I said, can we go in the back room? And he said, yeah, sure. He didn't even know we were there. So we went to the back room. When we got in the back room, this kid was rolling back and forth on the floor with one elder, deacon, bishop, whatever you want to call him, on one side and one on the other side. And I looked at that, and I went right to the floor on my hands and knees with these guys, and I thought they were asking him something. They were talking to a demon. I go, what? So I'm watching this thing, and by the end of the evening, not Albie, this is the important, not Albie, but these two other Christians had the power and authority to command not one, but nine demons to leave this kid's life. Wow. That's a long story that'd be very interesting, but that's how we first got exposed to that type of thing. And it was after that because of our relationship with him, we were able to get a little schooling in that area, and that's where it really took off.
And Albie Pearson wrote the foreword for Dr. Jewarden's book. The book is Dispensing Truth, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health. You'll see diagnosis, treatment, restoration on the cover, all those areas touched. It's such an important book, and time is going by so quickly, but what's really interesting is this is not a book that you set out to write. You sort of had, I would say, divine inspiration in writing this book. You were basically told to do it, weren't you?
That's quite a story, and I know time is going fast. All I want to say is that everybody dreams. I just happen to be one of those guys that rarely remembers anything he dreams.
Like me too.
In school,
yes.
I rarely remembered anything I studied too. But one night I had a dream that I was aware of, and in this dream the Lord appeared at the foot of my bed and told me I was going to write a book. I went, oh, no. I hated writing anything in school. A 10-page term paper was the end of the world. I said, I can't do that. I said, if I'm going to do that, you're going to have to help me. And he said, I'm going to tell you three things, and you will write the book. He didn't tell me I'd publish it. He didn't tell me I'd make money off it. It was a homework assignment as far as I was concerned.
Yes.
So that morning when I woke up, I remembered the dream, and I go, oh, no. That must be real. I remembered the dream, and all of a sudden, I was just flooded with information, and I had a desire to write. And I go, well, that proves this to me. I know what's going on here. I actually had a desire to write, and for about a year, my pen just couldn't be put down until it was completed. And it wasn't 10 pages. It was 42 chapters.
Amazing.
And when it prints out to over 400 pages. And I still look at that today and go, who did that?
Yeah, because like you say, once you started, you couldn't stop. And most books are what, in the 13, 14 chapter category. And he just kept telling you to keep writing. And the book now is touching so many lives, Dispensing Truth, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health by Dr. Ron Jewarden, G-I-R-A-R-D-I-N. Why do you think the book is being published and promoted now in its entirety after 30 years? Why do you think this is happening? And then I want to talk and wrap this up by talking about the results that you see. I mentioned a community pharmacist, so you are out there dealing with people, and you've seen the power of faith and healing.
Well, this book could be published at any time.
Yes.
I know that. And it didn't have to have my name on it to make it an important thing to read and be aware of. But why 30 years? That's a really good question. I happen to believe, as I look at the world today, by the way, I find it very interesting that there's this pandemic virus going on at the same time this book is being made available to the public. There's civil unrest at the same time this book is being published. And although it's a book on healing, it's a book on healing the inside man as well as the outside man. And the reform that, just to deviate a brief second, the reform that people are longing so much for to occur in our country can't be accomplished through rules, regulation, and legislation. All we have to do is look at prohibition in our history to realize that that didn't turn out that well. In fact, crime and violence increased during that period of time. Real reform takes place on the inside, and if any of us are sincere and we want real reform, we can do something about it that's meaningful. We can see what God promises to do for us. We can invite him into our lives because we're hopeless without him. And he will take place. He will create real reform in individual lives. And if you follow what he says, and he wouldn't say to do something if he couldn't make it possible for us to do. When he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, if we did that, none of this would be going on today. This would. So, yes, why today? Why not today?
Exactly. Yeah. Turn that around, and you get that that stark realization that we can control some of these things. And if you look at the information on the book, read the reviews and how people are being touched. And I'm going to take a minute or so here at the end in what you do every day, your work with your ministry, your work as a community pharmacist. You actually literally see miracles happen. Just very briefly talk about that, because you see the power of what you talk about in Dispensing Truth.
This book began after several things happened in my life. I won't go into detail about some of them, but I will one. One evening in the pharmacy, three people came into the store real late at night. A young girl with a bandana around her head, a lady on one side of her and a guy on the other side. She came into the store, and she had five prescriptions from an emergency room doctor. And emergency room doctors don't write for great quantities because they want you to get through the moment and go to your own doctor. He had written for a prescription for 100 sleeping pills, and I go, oh, no. Somewhere between the hospital and the pharmacy, somebody added a zero to a number
yes,
10 and
yes.
10 100. I called him. He said, no, that's the case. This girl has had two surgeries. She's got an inoperable. We can't get rid of the tumor in her head, and there's no point to having her come in every 3 or 4 days. So that's why I did it. And I was so startled. This was a young 19-year-old girl with a terminal brain tumor, and they couldn't pay for it. They want the whole amount. They couldn't pay for it. Essentially, she was homeless. So I gave them what they could have. They said they'd come back more. The gentleman came back 3 or 4 days later. I happened to be at work, and I was so moved by the Holy Spirit that I wrote a note to him and handed him. I said, take this note to Trish, would you please? And it basically said, Trish, I know you're going to think I'm nuts. That's okay. I said, but if you want, you give me a call, because God doesn't want you to have this brain tumor. Call me at home. Don't give my number to anybody else. That night when I got home, she called. To make a long story short, myself and another brother went over, we talked to her, we explained the gospel and how much God loves her and wants her to be whole and healed. And we said, can we pray for you? And she put her head down. You could just see, yeah, sure, why not? But what good is this going to do? And I said, well, I got some good news for you, Patricia. You don't have to believe God's going to heal you. My friend and I do. And then we read Mark 16, 17, and 18, these signs will follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands on the sick and recover. And I had her read it. And I said, you see what that says, Trish? Would you let us do that? And she said, yes. To speed this up, we did. 30 days later, a homeless person was in Santa Barbara. She had a brain scan, no tumor. 5 years later, just a coincidence, of course, at a wedding ceremony, I saw somebody who knew about it. He said, 2 weeks ago, I saw Trish. You remember Trish? No. Trish, you know, the girl had a brain tumor. Oh, yeah. We saw her 5 years later. She was
amazing.
Married and had a family with children. Bingo! Boom! Another explosive moment in your spirit.
Well, those...
And things... Yes, go Go ahead.
I was just going to say, those bingo moments you talk about in your book, that's why this book is really transformational for so many people. And you see it on the front line, as I say, as a pharmacist and as a minister. This has to be so rewarding when you see something like that. Here was someone, a young lady who's doomed. 5 years later, she's a mother and a viable member of society.
Correct. And you keep calling me a minister. I believe anybody that has the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of them is a minister. We're all told to spread the gospel to the far ends of the earth. And you know, the neat thing, and the thing that people have a hard time understanding, because we just don't hear about it very often in church fellowships, is that all we have to do is share the good news, which I did with Trish.
Yes.
And God promises to be with us and verify the truth. If we share it, he will see it comes to pass. And if you believe that, and I'm saying we know, some of us know that, but do we believe it? Some of us know it. The Lord wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We know that. Do we do that?
Well, and you are sharing that in the book, and I wish we had 3-4 hours to get into everything, but go buy the book. It really is a life-changing book. The book is Dispensing Truth, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health. The author is Dr. Ron Girardin, G-I-R-A-R-D-I-N. You'll find the book at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, at Walmart, all of the usual places, and you can link onto our website and get all of the information. Doctor, it's been a pleasure. The book is so impactful. It's a great story. You are going to lead people to healing, and you see it happen every day. A lot of the reviews will say the same thing, you know, where they actually see the power of faith and healing combined, and what it does. It's just remarkable. Miracles happening on an ongoing basis. Thank you for being with us on the program and sharing part of your story today.
It's been a pleasure, and I do wish we had maybe not 3 or 4 hours, but maybe another half hour sometime.
We'll have to work that into the calendar and be able to do that, because there's so much more we could talk about. Dispensing Truth, Divine Prescriptions to Restore and Maintain Good Health, Dr. Ron Girardin, our guest on the program. Book at Amazon, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.